You are listening to The Point Is on KZFR 90.1, community radio serving the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. I'm Stephen Schutte, sitting in today for Sue Hildebrand, and in this first hour, Saturday morning, we're discussing the aims of education, particularly in the context of the recent tragedy at Sandy Hook Elementary School. In the studio with me now is CSU Professor Vincent Ornelas. He teaches in the School of Social Work and is president of the Chico Chapter of California Faculty Associates. He has degrees from USC and has done a great deal of work with young people, including being director of legislative advocacy for the Exceptional Children's Foundation of Los Angeles and being the program director for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Pasadena. Since arriving in Chico, Vincent has established himself as an important member of our community. He's been a member of the CSUC Chicano Latino Council and a member of the board of directors of the Rowell Family Empowerment Center. He's also working at the university to establish linkages between the School of Social Work and community-based organizations that particularly target underserved populations. It's been my personal pleasure to work with Vincent on one of those projects, the Love Chapmantown Community Coalition. Welcome, Vincent Ornelas.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on The Point Is this morning.
We're talking this morning about the aims of education. I'm going to start off with a broad question for you. What are yours? What is education about for you?
Education for me is about stimulating the minds of both undergraduate and graduate students in the very broadest sense. Although I am trained as a social worker, and those are the courses that I teach, I really see education in a much broader context, and that is, I'd really like for the students to critically take a look at where we have been as an American society, where we are now, and, you know, what future do they envision for themselves, for their family, and for their communities. And so, you know, with that kind of a broad perspective, then I think probably the easiest answer to say, you know, what is my aim in education is to stimulate the minds of students to think along these lines, to realize that where we are today, we can take a look at where we've come from, and that's what's been responsible. And certainly where we would like to be tomorrow is something that they have the ability to change. And so they can do that as individuals, as professionals working with colleagues, and most importantly, as persons who have an interest in their own communities. And so working collaboratively with community partners, and those can be anyone from faith communities to private nonprofits to, you know, the everyday person who lives in, works, or has an interest in a particular community.
Do you have a sense among particular your undergraduates, how many of them are looking for jobs and careers in social work to get a paycheck versus, sounds as if many or some of them come in saying, I'll get some kind of job and then my social action I do on my own time in addition to my job?
One of the things that I talk about with the students is that if they are going to be going into social work, they need to be clear about why it is that they're going into it. And so I ask them to identify for themselves what are their personal values and what do they see as the most salient professional values of a social worker. And then how do those two spheres of values then overlap with the values of organizations that they choose to work with? And so what I have found in leading the discussion in that way is that a lot of times students will say that the reason they've come to social work is because of an experience they personally have had, or more often than not, an experience that somebody in their immediate or their extended family has had. And so for many students, they're responding to something. They're responding to an issue, whether it is an issue of domestic violence, whether it is an issue in terms of mental health, or it's an issue related to substance abuse. At some point before they showed up in my class, they had that experience, and they want to do something about that. And so social work is a means to an end. And certainly, I would not say that the undergraduates, you know, are entirely selfless. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, they all need to pay the rent. Everybody needs to buy books. Everybody needs to keep the utilities on. But at the same time, I think they all recognize, and it's something that we talk about in class and that they write about in their papers, and I know we'll talk about this a little later on, that they will, when they engage with people in the community, they will talk about that. And that is that they really want to be engaged in something where they don't see their personal values, their professional values, or the values of the organizations they choose to work in at odds with one another. Rather, they are fairly congruent with one another.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask about the rest of their education. In the last half hour, Beth Swadner talked about the kind of the hangover of the British curriculum in Kenya and all over Africa. I had an experience. I was talking with a couple of students at the CSU Cross Cultural Center who spoke brilliantly, I thought, and articulately about their aim for campus activism. And then I fed them one of my pet questions, and that is, where does your homework fit into this? And they sort of said, okay, well, when we get done with our homework and get through with our physics stuff, then we have time for this exciting work. And I wonder how you feel. I know, realize this is a touchy subject since there are a variety of required courses, but where does the hands-on community-based education fit into a traditional, obviously more conservative textbook and tests kind of curriculum?
Right. Well, I teach both, like I said at the outset, at both the undergraduate and the graduate level. And at the undergraduate level, there are a couple of courses that I teach that are called general education courses. And the intent of general education courses is to provide the individual with a broad base, a foundation, if you will, before taking upper division major classes. And so two of those classes that I teach, one is a cross-cultural course, and the other one is a social welfare institutions course. And what happens in those courses is you're exposing students to concepts, to models, to different perspectives. And the thing that happens in both those courses is there's a hand and glove relationship between the concepts and the models that are presented in readings, the discussion that takes place in class, and time that is out in the community. Mm-hmm. So it's impossible for a student to take one of those courses, at least with me, without having some practical hands-on mm-hmm. experience. And so, for example, this one course I teach, Social Welfare Institutions, a response to poverty and scarcity. A requirement of the course is that the students spend a minimum of 10 hours out in the community, mm-hmm. Preferably volunteering with an institution with which they have not had prior experience. And so I will pose questions to them that I want them to answer while they're out there in the community. And I really wanted to color their observations and then give them an opportunity to kind of reflect upon those observations. And so you can't teach students with a textbook or with an article and expect students to somehow soak up that knowledge like sponges. You know, students mm-hmm. come to us with a lifetime of experience, albeit we have students that come from very, very different perspectives. And so there are some experiences that the student on the right may have which are very different from the students on the left. And so even if those two students were to go and to volunteer in the same place, for example, here in Chico, places where we've had a number of students volunteer have included places like the Jesus Center or Catalyst Domestic Violence Services, and students walk away with very different experiences. Mm-hmm. And some things they see, they look like the textbook or they look like an article. But more often than not, what they find is that, you know, the textbook is good at initially presenting a concept, but to really understand what that means, what they need to do is they need to engage with staff, they need to engage with other volunteers, they need to engage with the community. And so for me, it is absolutely critical that if we are going to continue to engage in this effort to educate, what we have to look at is different ways of partnering with folks that are out in the community, with faith institutions, with private nonprofits, with governmental agencies, and recognize that our interests are the same, our goals are the same, but we have very different methods of attaining those.
I'm talking with Vincent Ornelas of the Chico State School of Social Work about particularly his students outside the classroom context. I wonder, Vincent, if you could tell us a little bit more specifically about some of those connections that you have underway at the moment, projects that you and your students are working on.
Well, one of the projects that I'm working on right now is I'm working with the Love Chapmantown Coalition, and I have an undergraduate intern and a graduate intern. And so the graduate intern is somebody who had completed the undergraduate program here. And both of these students have an interest in community. And so they were both referred to me, and each one has moved in a very different direction. There's lots of issues that can be addressed in Chapmantown. And for your listeners who are not aware, Chapmantown is a largely unincorporated county area that is completely bounded by the city of Chico. And so it's, if you will, it's an area that looks different than the city in terms of amenities, for example, things like sidewalks and curves. And then because of that, of it being unincorporated county, there are also a different set of regulations. And so, for example, people have chickens and rabbits, and people have septic tanks instead of sewers. And so with that in mind, Caitlin Prigmore, who is the graduate student, what she's taking a look at is she's taking a look at community gardens in Chapmantown and looking to see, is there an issue in terms of previous uses or current continuing uses of the area around these community gardens? And so Caitlin is working with community members as well as folks from geography and planning, from graphic design and agriculture to take a look at the issue of soils and possible contaminants that may be related to things, for example, like septic tanks. Or one of the businesses that operates near a community garden is a recycling center. And so wanting to take a look and not just what is on or near those community gardens now, but also historically, because we're not necessarily sure, you know, if the presence of those chemicals or heavy metals has dissipated over time. And so really what Caitlin is working on is identifying those, and then she's working on a community education piece so that folks can understand what are things that can be done to mitigate that. Now, on the other hand, there is an undergraduate intern, Adam Graves. And Adam, his interest is in community building. And so what Adam is working on is a project where he is meeting with service providers in Chapmantown and residents in Chapmantown, and he is doing something that is called an asset map. Now, a lot of times when we take a look at communities, what we'll do is we will look at it from a traditional deficit perspective. and we'll talk about a community and characterize it in terms of rates of violence or rates of unemployment or rates of poverty. And so these are all deficits. And in social work, one of the things that we work on with students is that is twofold. Number one, you need to start where the client is. And number two, what you need to do is you need to begin to build upon the assets, upon the strengths that they have. And so in this regard, Adam is viewing Chapmantown community as quote-unquote the client. And then the strengths are those things that people, you know, bring in terms of their expertise, in terms of their experience, in terms of their desires. And so what he's doing is he is working on taking those kind of assets and then working cooperatively with the folks in geography and planning and in graphic design to put that into a map that would be something that'll be hosted on a website that would be accessible to anybody in the community. And it'll be something that once the format is set, that'll be easily updated so that people can see for themselves what are the assets in their own community. You know, I purchased a home in Chapmantown a couple of years ago. And, you know, as I've talked with my neighbors, particularly those, you know, who reside on my block, the thing that has interested me has been some of the relationships that exist between individuals. And people tend to know the person who might live directly to the left or directly to the right of them, but they don't know the person who lives across the street and may not necessarily recognize that they could share, you know, resources and work together in terms of achieving some goal. And it may be for one neighbor or for the other. And so really what this asset map then is, it's a mechanism, a means of people communicating with one another. And in this case, people not necessarily communicating just to the person to the left or to the right of them, but the person, you know, who resides anywhere in Chapmantown or has an interest in Chapmantown. And so it's a really exciting project to work on. And, you know, Adam spends, very similar to Caitlin, a tremendous amount of time in the community on a week-to-week basis. And what he brings out of that community and back to the classroom and to his papers is those observations, those experiences, which temper, you know, what may be very dry, may be very dusty concepts that aren't very familiar on the printed page. But once, you know, you're working side by side with somebody, whether that's in a national night out, at a holiday party, or at a neighborhood cleanup, it comes to life in very different and very rich ways.
Could you talk a little bit about the next steps and the difficulty of the transition? I know you're pretty emphatic that the students aren't going to come in as do-gooders and you're not going to send an army of undergraduates in there to remediate what might be a deficiency. How do you get that community engagement as the next step?
Okay, so what happens is that you're absolutely right. You cannot send, you know, a slew of Chico State students over to Chapmantown or to any other community for that matter. Really what it's about establishing relationships one-on-one. And so part of what Adam does is he spends time in the community. He goes to places like Hasbeen's and he has coffee. He engages with people who come to the community. And you know, it's a neighborhood institution. People know who lives in and around there and who comes in on a regular basis. And at the beginning of the academic year, back in September, you know, when I first asked Adam to do that, he thought, you know, this is kind of an unusual assignment. You want me just to go and have coffee and talk to people? I said, yeah. I said, you need to get to know people. You need to get a sense of the rhythm of the place. You need to let them know that you're here as an intern and you can let them know, you know, what the project is, and ask people, you know, for their interest in becoming involved in this project. And so it's clear that as he spends time in the community, those relationships have begun to develop, and people have begun to talk about what they are interested in. And this is critical, because as social workers, there is a common misnomer that somehow we have the ability to quote-unquote fix people, that we have some sort of a magic wand that's in our backpack, and we can wave that over somebody, and all of a sudden, you know, they won't be an abusive partner, or all of a sudden they'll see the error of their ways with regards to their gambling addiction, and somehow we're going to be able to alter that. And that's not it at all. You know, as I said before, the piece is, and number one, recognizing that if there is going to be a professional relationship, in this case between Adam as a social work intern in the community, it needs to start with that human relationship. And so recognizing that everybody in the community, regardless of his or her station in life, regardless of age or ethnicity, they bring something unique to the table. And so it's working with them to say, okay, so what is it that you would like to do? And then becoming part of a larger process. And this is where the Love Chapmantown Coalition comes in. And then that becomes a mechanism for kind of channeling all those disparate ideas and suggestions into a cohesive effort that may have multiple fronts, but is striving towards some common goal. And so that's where Adam can work in terms of facilitating that process.
Vincent Ornelas, as we close, what are your plans for the new year, both in terms of your own activism and your work at CSU?
In terms of my own activism, one of the things that I've been doing, I've been working with folks from Stonewall Alliance and with Catalyst and one of the faith communities in town, and we're taking a look at this issue of hate crime and hate incidents in Chico. And so we are going to be working with the city and with the university and coming up with a broad-based response to that. And with that in mind, we're taking a look at a model that was developed in a college town very similar to Chico, and that's up in Humboldt, where folks got together from the university and the community and said, we need to have a thoughtful, planful response to these hate crimes and these hate incidents. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be, you know, one of the projects that I'll be working on in 2013. And the other project will be continuing to work with both Caitlin and with Adam and the Love Chapmantown Coalition in terms of addressing those issues that have been identified during the fall semester and making some initial steps as we continue into the spring semester.
I want to thank you very much for being with us today, Vincent. I really appreciate your work. It seems to me innovative, and it's an important direction for our college students to be going in, an alternative to some traditional education. So thanks very much for being with me on The Point Is.
Thank you for having me, Stephen.